Technorama episode 521 for December 20th, 2017.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I'm looking for a last-minute Christmas gift for my wife's brother's stepson's cousin.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
I forgot to mention it was a girl.
Seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I also forgot to mention the show title. The Reindeer's Little Mess.
Oops.
That's what this is. Yeah, it's an oops. You can take that any way you like it. Hi, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. We are here just having fun, hanging out, talking about weird stories, or maybe some actual news that came up in the last week. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am ready for Christmas.
I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Also joining us in the binary studio are...
Hi, I'm Keith Lane. For Christmas, I'm getting a rock. A rock. A pet rock.
No, I'm Ben Raggington.
I know, Halloween. I'm mixing my Charlie Brown holidays.
I guess so. What do you get for Halloween? A dead tree?
A dead tree, yes.
Wow. Actually, it wasn't dead. Once you cut it down, it's dead, I suppose.
Yeah, well...
It is the holiday season upon us. This is the last show of the year. We should be having a big party over here, but closest we got was we found some Santa hats, so we put them on.
Yay. It's always a Santa hat. Like a party. How about that?
It's a party anytime you tune into Technorama.
Sat here.
We have a couple of viewers that have joined us live on Facebook. Thank you very much. It's Sunday night, and we appreciate it. No show next Sunday because it's Christmas Eve, and I've got to do like about... many hours of church audio for our Christmas Eve service. So looking forward to that.
Yay. Many hours.
Many oh hours. Boy.
Do you have multiple services?
Yes. 3, 5, 7, and 9.
Oh, gee.
I'm not doing all of those.
Which one is it? 3, 5, 7, or 9 services?
It's
yeah.
Speaking of numbers, shut up and roll your D20. Craig, you got your D20 handy?
I got yeah, hold on.
We're going to start with the history segment.
Where did it go?
I got.
Where did what go?
Well, if I look at the sideways, I got infinity. I guess that means I got the highest.
It's an 8, you silly.
Oh. Is that what that
Somebody
means?
Somebody moved my dice.
Oh. First it's the camera, then it's the die.
Die.
Did you see my Superman poster over there?
Superman?
Left hand is like this, so I put the dice kind of rolling out of his hand.
Oh.
This is how Superman rolls. I think I posted a picture of that, but now I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
I'm ready to rock and roll.
I won that at FanFest.
Roll a 20-sided die.
Coming right up. You rolled a 16.
Yeah, that's better.
Roll a real die, Craig.
Oh, that doesn't
count. I can't find it. I'm ready.
Not a digital die?
Stuff.
Yes, roll an analog die.
Wow. And he gives me crap.
Somebody put their... Let me put their hands on my dice. That's not good.
Uh-huh. All right. We'll credit you with the 16. Keith, what did you get?
I got a 17.
A 17. Nicely done. So, this is going to go kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Keith, Craig.
I got 8.
And Chuck. I got a 6.
Oh, dear. That is going to be weird.
I make it go in.
Okay, Keith, Craig, Chuck, Ben.
Yes.
We'll go around this circle if we use this monitor.
Yes.
Okay.
We
need a system, people.
Got that, Donna?
We're not that complex, and now Craig's rearranging his microphone.
No. I'm after Keith, right?
Yeah.
Yes, after Keith. Ready?
On this day?
No, I do the intro.
Oh, sorry.
You get the first bullet item.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Little down there, cowboy.
I thought I was running the show. I'm having withdrawal.
On this day in history for December 20th, 2017, this is the 354th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 11
days.
That's binary for 3 days left in 2017.
It was on this day in 1606 that the Virginia Company loads three ships with settlers and sets sail to establish Jamestown, Virginia, the first permanent English settlement in the Americas.
I like how they put
nice
that.
Nice podcast voice.
I like how they put that. It's like they set out, they loaded ships with settlers and stay out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Get the heck out of here.
It was 214 years ago today. The Louisiana Purchase was completed at a ceremony in New Orleans.
Is that in Louisiana?
Adolf Hitler is released from Landsberg prison on this date in 1924.
There's a second also, part yes. to that.
There is. Oh, also today, 1946, the popular Christmas film. It's oh, that should be a separate bullet.
Oh, that's a separate
that
bullet.
That
separate
was yours. Bullet. Editor's issue.
Oh, then different I will bullet. Take.
Wow.
No, that's a bullet.
Okay, that's just bullet. A problem with Google. There.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, this is. So this is my podcast voice. Also, today in 1946, the popular Christmas film "It's a Wonderful Life" is first released in New York City.
It's a wonderful life.
Elmer Fudd's
I
kid.
Have a wonderful life.
Oh, is that my turn?
Oh, is it
now?
My turn again? Also on December 20th, 1951, the EBR-1 in Arco, Idaho becomes the first nuclear power plant to generate electricity. The electricity powered 4 light bulbs. What?
Well, it what? Is 1951. Wow.
It's like one of those potato with the paperclip and penny experiments.
Yeah.
You know some guys actually worked hard on that and went, what a good day. Let's go home.
Yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
All right. That same date in 1957, the initial production version of the Boeing 707 begins its first flight.
A Pennsylvania Railroad Bud Metroliner exceeds 155 miles an hour on the New York division. Wow. Also, present day Amtrak's Northeast Corridor on this date in 1967.
And it was also this date in 1971 that the international aid organization Doctors Without Borders is founded by Bernard Kouchner and a group of journalists in Paris, France.
France. China successfully launches the Bolivian Tupac Katari 1 from the Xichang Satellite Launch Center on this date in 2013.
Pretty good there, what? Tupac.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the heck?
Tupac, yeah.
The and Tupac happy birthday Shakur.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to French mathematician and cartographer Anse Fini.
Anse. I like it.
And his wife is Beyonce.
To Beyonce or not Beyonce.
Aronce Feeney, born on this date in 1494. I don't think he's with us anymore.
Czech chemist and academic Nobel Prize. Wait, is it my turn? Yes.
Yep.
My
yeah,
turn.
I think so.
Okay, there. I was halfway through this thing. Nobel Prize laureate. What nationality is this? Czech? So let's yep. try. Yaroslav yep. Herovsky was born 127 years ago today.
And born December 20th, 1901, American physicist and academic invented the Van de Graaff generator, Robert J. Van de Graaff.
What a coincidence. What? He was named after the generator.
How about impressed. That? That's amazing. Yeah,
amazing.
Like Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
He was named after
oh, that's yeah. dark. There's this awful disease. I'm going to name my kid after it.
Yeah. The Van de Graaff.
Yeah, the Van de Graaff illness.
Van de Graaff illness. American actor John Hillerman, born on this date in 1932, and he just passed away recently.
Oh, he did?
Yes. Yes, he did.
A couple weeks ago.
Craig?
Oh, that was my cue. Also born on the same date in 1945, American singer, songwriter, drummer, producer, Peter Criss.
What band was he in, Chris? I mean, Craig?
Chris? Craig? What's your name?
With Criss Cross. No, Kiss.
Chris Cross.
Criss Cross. He was in the band yeah. Chris. How hard is it?
Everybody jump.
Keep up.
Jump.
English keyboard player producer Alan Parsons was born on this date in 1948. What band was he in, Craig?
Yeah, what? Some project. The Alan Parsons Project. Yes.
I thought it was ZLP, but, you know, yeah. for Emerson, Lake, and Parsons.
Emerson, Lake, and Parsons. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
An English mathematician and academic, Geoffrey Grimmett, is 67 today.
Parsons, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah. Also turning 41 today is Welsh game designer and businessman, co-founded Meteor Games, Adam Powell. That's
Meteor
not a
Games.
Welsh. That's not a Welsh name.
Well, he's
it's
he,
not
he was a Welsh
wrong.
Game
it's
designer.
like how you read that in the question.
It's not Welsh because there are vowels in that name.
Yeah, exactly. PRQZ should be Alan.
Or in this case, there are Powells in that name.
Oh!
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
That, I think that takes care of our birthdays. If you if you think you want to be on there. Oh, I didn't get the listener birthdays in there. Darn it.
Dang it.
Editor's issue. Well, happy birthday to you if this is your birthday
our
week.
Wiki.
Go visit.
Hey, you
want to
read them?
Over at
what dates are we looking at?
20th I can read them right through now. The 26th.
All right, so Phil Birchall, the 9-year-old I started. Phil Birchall. The 9-year-old I started listening to Technorama with, turned 21 this year in 2017. Oh, so the calendar's been updated.
Oh, music's out. You're done.
All right.
So and that's James the way it was Ballard. On this day in history, for December 20th, 2017.
Darn this Skype lag.
All right, so James Ballard on the 21st, Bo Pace on the 22nd, Luke Chuck Stalker Smith.
Didn't we do these people last week?
December.
No. Okay.
Did you read ahead?
No. No, I read back.
22nd is Jason Poloni from Tampa, Florida.
Wait, no, we did say Luke because we said Luke is now 17. Remember you gave me crap about looking at my watch. Maybe I looked ahead.
Okay.
Boy, are we out of sync
in history in the future?
Let me to continue reading them. I'll read them anyway.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because they're special. On the 20,
yeah, you know, it's free. It's all free for now. 23rd is Richard Green, good old friend. 24th is Mad Boom. 25th is Joel Parks. He's a Christmas baby. 29 is Seaman.
Yeah, all right.
We'll read up to the 31st.
Sure.
And Shadowbird's mom. Happy birthday, Shadowbird's mom. And Mr. Sim, a.k.a. Jeremy from Winnipeg.
Happy birthday to all of you. If you want to be on our birthday calendar, get a shout out at the appropriate time of year. It's not too late. We have friends of relatives, relatives of friends. They're all over there. You can go to chuckchat.com.
People have given birth to listeners.
People who have yet to be born are on our birthday calendar. No.
Right.
Wait, that would be confusing.
Yeah. That's very timey-wimey.
It is. Well, so is podcasting, wibbly wobbly. But that's the good thing.
Yeah.
All right. We have some bad news.
Oh, my Lord.
Warning. Warning.
Bad news, fancy men.
Well, yeah. As of December 15th, because this is a little post-dated.
No.
We knew this day would come.
Oh, no.
One of the major parts of our formative years of the World Wide Web. We called it back in the day, we'll cease to be. AOL Instant Messenger came to a close a few hours ago.
You ain't got mail.
Well, no, AOL is still around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We know. My mother's still the last paying subscriber.
I'm wondering what happens if I fire up Adium on my Mac, because it's still connected to my AIM account. It'll probably say it can't connect.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we've already eulogized it. It doesn't make the moment any less bitter. Sunrise, sunset. AIM started life as a built-in chat application for America Online's desktop client back when millions bought their internet service from AOL, now called Oath.
What?
Oath?
Oath. And now owners of this very
site. What?
It didn't did it become capture Oath? The imagination of the early internet until it was spun out as a separate app back in 1997. The little yellow guy soon became iconic. Fortunately, there's no shortage of messaging services now. If you're not FaceTiming or using Snapchat, that is, we'll always have the memories.
In other news, there was a search in ICQ.
No,
wow.
Slack is the new ICQ.
Yeah.
No, IRC. Yeah. Slack is the new IRC.
Yeah, they were talking about using Flack on the...
Flack?
Flack! On one of our conference calls the other day. Isn't that Flack? Isn't that what it is?
Slack.
Oh, Slack.
Because everybody uses
Slack. No wonder I could never find the program.
Just slacking off.
Actually, I've kind of grown on Slack a little bit. A couple of groups use it at ServiceNow, so I started playing with it more. And initially, for a long time, I kind of wrote it off.
Too noisy for me. There's too many sub channels on a channel, and I can't keep up. When I need to get work done, I shut it down and then never remember to bring it back up.
Yeah. Oh, well, there is some features on there to only see things that are you're involved with. So you can turn you have control over the notifications.
I don't need another chat program.
Yeah, we have Skype for business.
There's Skype, there's Jabber, there's Slack, there's
Chatter, and
there's built-in stuff in our platform. We've now got work. Facebook at work. We've got Facebook at work, and that's got a chat in it.
Oh dear. Like,
well, here's the other thing, Chuck. Not only that, but you got Office 365, and it has Teams, and it has the same kind of thing.
And then you got the Rose Such a Clatter company.
Let's go on to our next news story, shall
I'm
we?
I'm ignoring that one.
Craig, would you like to read this one?
I'm going to log back into ICQ. What now?
From Slashdot?
Sure. Let me pull up the article. So robots are being used to shoo away homeless people in San Francisco.
Oh, Lord.
And actually, my first thought was that Bob. Remember, we were picking on Bob the robot.
Was it Bob or was it Steve?
Steve.
Steve was the one who fell in the fountain. Yes.
Somebody fell in the fountain.
So San Francisco Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA, has been ordered by the city to stop using a robot to patrol the sidewalks outside its office.
Oh.
San Francisco Business Times reported on December 8th, the robot, produced by Silicon Valley startup Nightscope, was used to ensure that homeless people didn't set up camps outside its nonprofit office. It autonomously patrols a set area, using a combination of LIDAR and other sensors. LIDAR, that's where you can tell if somebody's lying or not.
Uh-huh.
You can't alert.
It's
security.
A combination between a radar and a lion.
Yeah. Oh, a radar and a lie detector.
LIDAR. Oh, is that like Gadar?
They're probably the most awesome piece of technology there ever was.
So in particular, in a particularly dystopian move, it seems that the San Francisco SPCA adorned this robot by renting it with stickers of cute kittens and puppies.
What? Oh, dear Lord.
According to the Business Insider, it was used to shoo away homeless near its office.
So it's San Francisco, a friendly Dalek.
Yeah.
A Dalek with kitties. Exterminate!
Meow.
San Francisco recently voted to cut down on the number of robots. Exterminate!
That's the robot I'm putting after the homeless.
Mm-hmm. That roam the streets of the city, which has seen an influx of small delivery robots in recent years. Oh, the city said it would issue the SPCA a fine of $1,000 per day for illegally operating on a public right-of-way if it continued to use the security robot outside its premises. So there you go.
So it can only go up to its property line, but hey, how far does a flamethrower reach?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So I'm curious. Okay, so I know it would report them, but what, it would just keep bumping into, you know, the people until they got up and moved, like a Roomba?
Oh dear! Let's not talk about the Roomba. Yeah. Of course, the Roomba running over the dog poop has been recycled on Facebook again.
Oh man!
Oh man!
That's nasty.
Wrong.
Those little side brooms just keep sweeping.
Oh, it's all over the place. Everywhere.
Actually, you know what? What gets to me about this whole story is you got these people that are the SPCA, which is, you know, their main thing is, you know, animal cruelty, watching out for that and taking care of animals, humanely. And then they're pushing around homeless people.
Yep, exactly.
It's a little irony in there, I think, somewhere.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, a little steely there.
All right, let's take a real quick break. We'll be back with Hacks and Strange Stories in just a moment. So stick around. Where's my thing? There it is.
Where's your thing?
Boom.
We'll be right back.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the quarter bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarterbin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
Hi, this is Gil Gerard, and you're listening to Technorama.
Hey,
oh, it's lovely weather out there.
Ooh, it's getting cold. Close the door.
Lots of weather we've been having lately.
Yes. We had winter last week.
Yes.
It was like Wednesday to Friday, and then it was summer again.
Saturday morning, it got down into the 40s.
Yeah, and then this
now
weekend,
we got winter again.
We got winter again. What yeah. the heck is
oh,
going
that's
on?
Been our high, so shut up.
I enjoyed the Tannhäuser theme behind that promo.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was very Ren and Stimpy. Keep that rolling. I like that. That's good. We have in the, where are we? We're in the Hacks and Strange Stories?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hacks and Strange Stories.
Oh,
I can't do it to that music. That's bizarre.
That is weird.
Keep going. Let's see. Elon Musk story. You guys want to roll for it or do you just want to agree?
Go ahead.
Gentleman's agreement.
Oh, okay. Well.
Here, let me scroll that up so you can read it.
Entrepreneur Elon Musk likes setting Twitter on fire. Oh.
Oh, like- oh. The- This is great. This was a fun story if you missed it.
Recently, he destroyed the Flat Earth Society with a single question. And now Elon tweeted 35,000 without any context, ignoring another hilarious discussion or igniting another hilarious discussion about what the mysterious number could mean.
Retweets.
Yeah, his follower, Dallas Michael McLennan, shared his opinion about the seemingly random number, asking, is that how many times I've tweeted to you without getting a follow back?
Yeah.
Others jumped into the conversation and escalated ridiculously quickly. I'm wearing the wrong glasses for this.
Here, I'll make it bigger for you.
Oh, thank you. His tweet game is on lock, McLennan told Bored Panda. Bored Panda?
That's the name of the website.
Yeah, far out. I never know if he's going to tweet something serious about AI, make a joke or say something that I don't even understand at first, like a number. Dallas follows Elon because the guy thinks that his likes... Oh, boy, I really messed that one up. Sorry.
Oh, and I was scrolling, too. That didn't help.
Yeah. Well, Dallas follows Elon because the guy thinks that minds like his come around rarely. He works so hard to better our future, and I just find him interesting. In fact, I was just watching an Albert Einstein documentary. I love learning about innovators who come in and change our world. So we now scroll down to witness the funny exchange and let us know your thoughts about the mysterious 35,000. So we see 35,000.
And then Dallas Michael M., of course, says, is that how many times I've tweeted you without getting a follow back?
And that was,
what reason does that Elon Musk have to follow you? What can you offer one of the greatest innovators of our time?
And young man responds with, I make really good pork chops.
Really? What do you make from them from?
I caramelize red and yellow peppers with red wine, vinegar, and olive oil, and cancel it out with sugar, and bake a pork loin with salt, pepper, thyme, and a little cumin, and put the sweet and sour peppers on the pork chops with a side of chopped and baked red garlic potatoes.
Mm.
Chop some red onions with your peppers. Good stuff.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I use onions too with the peppers, but I've only used yellow ones.
I prefer red onions, but it's just for the looks, mostly. I like the color.
Here's a recipe. Pork chops. 2 pork chops, olive oil for frying, 2 garlic cloves crushed with skin on, small bunch of thyme, few knobs of butter, a little bit of cumin, peppers and onions, olive oil for frying, 1 red onion peeled and thinly sliced, 2 red peppers thinly sliced, sea salt, ground pepper, 1 tablespoon caster sugar, 3 tablespoons red wine vinegar, 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil, and small bunch of basil leaves shredded.
I can see that also here's the ingredients for anyone who wants them.
where do you turn for dinner ideas? I turn to the comments section of Elon Musk's tweets. I guess I'll have to visit at Moon Alice for wine pairings.
Be sure to check in the Elon Musk comments next week for some delicious homemade lemon chicken.
This is the best Twitter thread I ever left my...
Laugh off. My off.
LMAO. We know what it means.
Yeah, Musk may not follow you, but I will for this one.
This thread, I'm dying.
I wasn't even hungry until I read that.
As I say, that $35,000 is probably how much he spent for lunch. Yeah.
I loved. Did you do the thing on his Flat Earth Society?
No.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
We should have done that.
He tweeted.
This is great because it has nothing to do with $35,000.
No.
It's just a whole lot of nonsense, which is our kind of nonsense.
Yeah, you have to look up the tweet about his poking the Flat Earth Society. There's an article on it. It's hilarious.
Shout out to our live viewers that are watching. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas and whatever holidays you celebrate out to you.
That was Merry Christmas and Catmas.
Yes.
Cat speak.
Merry Catmas.
Well, I know when I got home, I wished Todd a Merry Christmas. I said, Feliz Navidad. We have John Miller Jr., Howard Weissman. We've got Tim Elliott. Max Prisnell says hello.
Hey, Max.
Hi, Max.
Cousin Loriana Miller. We got Craig Stepp and Sherry Boudry Donnelly, friend from many years ago. If you are out there in Cyberland watching our video, thank you very much. If you want to watch it live, we are here on Sunday nights. Save holidays and business trips. Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time on Facebook, or you can catch us later on the podcast over at chuckchat.com. You can find that on iTunes and Google Play and all those other places. Or we even have this same video cross-posted to YouTube.
And hopefully you won't get
access denied.
So I'm just wondering, do you wish your other cat by saying, oh, holly night?
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There's just a lot of songs you can play for her.
Yeah.
Holly night.
Oh, holly night. The fur is softly falling.
I'm looking for the nighty that they sing every year about Oh Nighty Vine.
Oh Nighty Vine. Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
It's just every year there's like one that just gets.
Jesus was born in Dunstable.
Oh yes.
If you've ever watched Vicar of Dibley.
The girls were on the phone and they told me about, they saw a sign that said free shavacados.
Oh.
Because the SH from fresh and avocados got meshed together and it was now free shavacados. That's right. I'm still trying to figure out if it's I influenced them or they influenced me, because kids have a way of seeing things like that, but I just. It's funny either.
I never stop seeing things like that.
And even Lisa missed it. She said she went to Del Taco, and I said, no, you completely missed it. It's Deltaco.
Deltaco, yes.
It's a gas company.
I thought it was an airplane company. Okay. But you're right. It is a. They do produce gas.
Yeah, Deltaco does.
There's our obligatory fart joke right there. Let's do the...
I don't have a fart. We'll do that instead.
We have some Remember When.
Yeah, is all flatulence could sound like that.
What?
A flatcast?
Remember When?
We have a Remember When. We have a couple of Remember Whens. Oh, Craig, where did you find these? It seems like only yesterday it was Y2K time.
Y2K?
I know, right?
And a Reddit reader posted up a sticker. An honest-to-goodness Best Buy sticker that I don't know where you'd place this. On your computer?
No, they had it like on the shelves and stuff. It was like on... I'm trying to remember exactly. I've seen this before. Not in this... not online.
That almost looks like notebook cover... texture. Anyway, says remember, turn off your computer before midnight on 12/31/99. Don't turn it off. That's the point. It won't turn back on.
Yeah. Because then you're in Y2K.
Well, I think the point was they didn't what would it matter? As soon as it updated its time, you'd be screwed.
Well, only if you had a real-time clock in your computer.
My original IBM PC didn't.
I think you were safe with the PC at that point.
Your autoexec.bat always had to have the date and time command in there so you could set it when you booted up your machine.
That's true. That's true.
This is terrible.
Who cares?
But I've seen these stickers
get
around.
Your past.
Because then your files wouldn't have a timestamp on them.
Who cares?
I saw these stickers at I've seen these stickers at Best Buy before. Well, obviously.
Really? You did? You remember seeing these?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I remember I had to be at work, and there were several of us watching the fireworks. You know, as it went off. Okay, let's go check the computers. So we had to go walk around and check the machines in the server room.
Oh, Y2K, the thing that elevated IT into the business status.
Exactly.
And we all got bonuses for doing almost nothing.
Exactly.
Well, somebody else on Reddit posted, forget your sticker, here's a book that's on sale right now at whatever bookstore they were talking about. The year 2000 computer crash. Computing crash.
Oh, there's a book?
Yeah. Look at the next link.
Oh, Y2K book.
The year 2000. Oh, my goodness.
special prize.
A Millennium Date Conversion Plan by Jerome T. Murray and Marilyn J. Murray. Oh, it's a husband and wife conspiracy. Uh-oh.
And the special price is we'll give you $10 to take it away.
Yeah.
Oh,
here's our Y2K plan. We're going to make money on this for 17 years.
I bet they're divorced now. Yeah. What? There's other books in these plastic bins too, like Mission DOS.
Oh dear Lord! Far out.
Gaming
bestseller.
Gamling? That's a dwarf.
I'd love to see some of the other books in these bins and where they came up with them. That's funny.
It's hard to see that book right beside us. Like gaming. 2003, 2005? I can't tell.
Something's a bestseller, but I can't tell what.
Yeah, that's just it.
Bestseller!
So did you guys experience any Y2K problems?
No.
I know there was a couple of small
dollar.
Issues. But,
Gambling 2003 is what that light blue book says.
Gambling, that was it.
Gambling 2003. Yeah, they don't really... Mission DOS.
Now, did y'all have any trouble at your jobs and stuff with Y2K?
No,
we did a lot of analysis and made sure that everything was up to date and could handle 4-digit years, which probably 99% of the apps were. It was usually the in-house ones that it was an excuse yourself, to get rid of them.
Yeah, I remember just a couple of minor issues, not a big deal, nothing crazy,
nothing that
nothing
brought down the business.
No, nothing crazy at work and nothing crazy at home. What the hell is that?
Y2K is kicking in now.
Oh, is that what it sounds like?
It has a sound bite. Speaking of sound bites, where are we going? Media sound Corner? Bites.
Media
no, Corner? No, thank you, Patreons.
Oh, Patreon. Yes, stop that. There we go. We need the...
Hey, by the way.
Yes?
By the way, I know I mentioned this last time. I'm sure everybody's aware of it. I mentioned thank you to all the patrons for hanging out, even though the... Patreon was making those changes. Well, those changes aren't happening anymore.
Yay.
Because everybody spoke out so much. So everything's cool.
So too much complaining.
The internet is a wonderful thing when it works.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, if you start complaining, they'll just throttle you.
Let's play this song. This is our special Patreon song. Thank you to everyone who contributes to the show. We appreciate it. You help offset the costs of hardware, software, hosting, bandwidth, you name it. We do this out of love and out of our pockets, and you help contribute to that. Thank you very much, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble? Amy
Not that
Bowen.
John Noble.
Every time.
Every single time.
Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Kyle Nishioka, and Jorga Schrawen. Thank you. If you want to be part of this elite crew, it's very elite. You can only get in if you go over to patreon.com/technorama podcast. And as little as a dollar a show. And the cool thing is, if we don't produce a show, you don't pay. So it's kind of cool. And beyond that, we give you special content that is only available to our Patreon friends. So you get that and no one else does. It's like a secret club.
It's a secret club.
We'll teach you the secret handshake in podcast form.
Gotta roll a 91 or 61. 61.
Actually, hey, you know what? For the next couple of weeks, since we're going to be kind of off because of the holidays.
Yeah, we're off anyway.
Yeah. Well, what I may do is take some of our older Patreon shows and post them up.
As a sample.
Yeah.
And then they really won't contribute.
Yeah. Scare them away.
I don't know if that'll deter or attract.
If
but
you
we'll
want
see.
Us to stop doing the Patreon content, give us a dollar.
No, I was planning on that. I'll do that for the next couple weeks.
All right, that'd be very kind. That'll be our Christmas gift.
To you. Yes, right.
Thank you. Let's bring that down. Stop that. And now the media corner, right? There it is. See, I got them all lined up here. They're all pretty colorful.
Welcome to Blockhead.
I'm impressed.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Things.
Over here in the media corner.
And things.
And things.
We have a fan trailer. Craig, do us the honors on this one.
Yes, because I love this. I love, you know, I think everybody can appreciate the art of Ralph McQuarrie.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yes, I love it. It has that kind of Art Deco kind of mm-hmm. feel to Star Wars. It's really cool.
It's the concept art that got the thing going.
That's right. So here you go. Ralph McQuarrie's original concept art for Star Wars still influences the designs and creatures as we see in the films, which I believe you see a lot more of that in the last three or in this series of films, in comics and on TV today. The legacy, his legacy is shaping of the saga's visual identity is unquestionable, but his work also paints a picture of Star Wars we never got to see. One, this fan film delightfully brings to life, and I think it does too. The Loving Project of visual effects students at the Dave School in Florida, the Star Wars draws some of McQuarrie's most iconic pieces and early concept art and brings them to life with real actors and CG effects to imagine a galaxy far, far away where C-3PO was a little more Metropolis than he was the robot lover.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where Han Solo was a petrifying green giant space monster.
Oh, I thought that was the prototype for Chewbacca.
No.
Okay. So who's the guy with the head bandage?
Luke.
No, Luke was going to be a girl.
Well,
that's what it said originally.
I take that back. I read the comics. Lucy Skywalker. There was three comics that they put out based on the original treatment of Star Wars, and yeah, Luke was a general. The names were familiar, but they're all kind of twisted around.
Yeah, it said the role of Luke would be Skywalker was actually a female hero.
Yeah, at one point he was a female, and then in the comic he wasn't. I don't believe he was a female. I don't remember that. I remember him. He was a general. He was
okay.
Yeah, but the name was also Starkiller.
Starkiller. That's true. Right. It's true too. Yeah.
Which would have been confusing when they got to Starkiller Base Station.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think that's why they called it that.
Named it after. Named after the general. Okay, that is a great idea.
Yeah. So anyway, go check out this trailer. I'll finish this article out. It says it's spectacularly well done. The moments where the action and the scene finally settled in, the framing and place of McQuarrie's original art are brilliant bits of realization, flashing the original imagery of McQuarrie's legendary work before your eyes in a new yet familiar way. The attention to detail was perfect tribute to the man who helped fundamentally make Star Wars what it is and is still doing so with his influence 40 years later.
Amazing.
I like when they show R2 kind of walking across the sand. He's very awkward and clumsy. He didn't so much roll as walked, almost like Tars.
Yeah, that's kind of how I imagine. When I saw the picture, you know, and he's like, you know, I'm sorry, I forgot my webcam's on. But he's, you know, where he's kind of at an awkward angle to begin with in the painting.
Yeah,
and then that's kind of how when I saw him walking in the trailer, I went, that's kind of what I imagine he would be doing, kind of like awkward motion trying to get across the sand.
Those must have been some very interesting design discussions to sort of, you know, not re-engineer, but refine
exactly.
some of these characters designs.
Because you're right. C-3PO looks very Metropolis in this thing.
Yeah, and in the Force Awakens, you could see a lot of this influence more so than I think you could in the previous Star Wars movies.
I'm going to have to go back and look at it with that perspective. I didn't notice that so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Speaking of,
I'm sorry. I'm not going to say it because it won't spoil anything in the movie, but no, I'll wait. I'll hold it. I'll hold my tongue.
Hold it till you get to the bathroom.
Right. Gotta go.
Speaking of Star Wars, Last Jedi opened up this last weekend. And, well, three of the four of us on this show saw it. Mm-hmm. I was not one of them, so you can guess who the other three are. So without spoilers, should I go see it or should I wait?
Wait.
Oh, wait.
Wait. Whoa, Ben was quick out of the gate with that one.
Why would you wait?
I'd wait. It's not worth catching right off the bat.
What? No. You didn't like it that much?
No, I didn't. I mean, I liked it, but I'd wait till you see a matinee. Oh, okay, do that.
Okay, yeah. We were planning to go see a matinee.
Yeah. Do it on a matinee, but don't catch it on a primetime viewing.
Yeah.
No, it'll probably be like 1 p.m. on next Thursday or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's just not.
Yeah, there's a few things that are that after you see it, you'll be like, oh, okay,
some liberties.
Oh, that's being nice.
There's a couple of things I left scratching my head with. But no, I mean, it was an entertaining film. I thought it was great. But you're right. It is
a very visually, it's fabulous. Well-made film.
Yeah, technically.
But the story suffers.
So does this feel like a money grab to you?
I wouldn't say that it necessarily feels like a money grab.
They decided to do what they wanted to do and make the film what they wanted it to be instead of following in Lucas's.
There seems to be some talk that Rian Johnson was out to actually do a deconstruction.
Hmm.
And that was a terrible idea, in my opinion. He's playing the Zack Snyder role.
Yeah.
For this time for Disney though. There are some good moments.
Yeah.
There are a number of, okay, that's a questionable moment. And there are a lot of, why the heck are they doing that moments?
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, the film had some slow moments. And a lot of that had to do with the storytelling and the things that they tried to insert in the story that I personally didn't think belonged. But nevertheless, you could have told the story differently even with those points in there. Some of the scenes went on way too long.
Yeah.
How long was it?
It's two and a half hours.
It
probably could have been two.
If they cut 50 minutes from that movie.
50?
Yeah, 50.
Wow. That's a lot. An hour 40 minutes.
But it could be done. It would jettison some of the unnecessary storylines, and it would also tighten up the remaining, and it would make it an infinitely better movie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of editing.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's a lot of content.
I'm not joking. There's a lot of content that needs to go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I respect y'all's opinion. I think you're probably spot on, but I don't know about 50. I liked it a little more than that. I did find a couple of problems with it. So did my son. He's pretty good about picking up on some of that stuff.
It was a decent movie. I mean, it's worth seeing.
It's not a bad movie.
Yeah, it's just not the great film
that was
being anticipated.
No, in fact, on Rotten Tomatoes, it has been receiving well over 90% fresh rating from the critics.
Huh.
But from the fans, it's last I heard it was getting only 56%. So only 50, yeah, that's not good. This is turning out to be probably the most divisive of all Star Wars films.
Yeah.
Whereas there was no nobody quarreled over
the prequel trilogy.
The prequel trilogy.
Not like this. I mean, all the fans are really up in arms.
And because
on this
it had been years before since they had made a film.
True.
So well, you know,
I'll tell you a couple of things. One, I think Mark Hamill did a good job. It was fun seeing him.
Yeah, it was fun seeing him
as Luke again.
Do you agree with all the critical acclaim that he's getting, saying that
this was his best role ever,
and that he's worthy of an Academy Award nomination
for that
portrayal?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm.
Everybody's saying
there was
Academy
a couple
Award?
Of really good moments, but I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. There was a couple of moments I was like, "Wow, that's pretty good," but no, I don't think no.
I kind of broke down the film this way, that if you grew up with Star Wars, having seen it, the original in the theaters
when it came out
and you weren't a child, if you were, you know,
a teen or older,
mm-hmm. you kind of have issue with the film. But if you're a newer Star Wars, fan, or you didn't see it, the original in the theater, this is a great film.
Yeah, this seems to be a very odd generational divide on this one.
It appears to be breaking down that way.
Okay.
And I think Rian Johnson is of that camp. He was maybe 3 years old when the movie came out. So
he was three.
No, yeah. He was 3 years old when A New Hope came out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So well, he's not of that generation that saw it in the theaters and grew up with that,
sure,
you know, thing.
Well, the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, the Force Awakens got a little bit of flack or recognition because they kind of copied the same kind of beat.
Yeah, but that was deliberate. Deserved.
I will say, yeah, I'm sure it was, but I will say I'm glad they at least tried to do something other than a remake of Empire.
Oh, well, okay. You and I will talk later.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't think they did. I mean, they didn't follow the beats of Empire.
No, they did not remake Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. No, but boy, you and I, yeah, I can't say anything without spoiling the movie, so I'm going to be quiet.
Come on, spoil it. No. All right, fine.
But it's worth seeing. You know, yeah. It's a Star Wars film, and
it does have some moments in there that are really good. There's one moment in particular that was absolutely stellar, outstanding. And it's I keep going back to it thinking, if we could have had other moments of this kind of quality of storytelling, then this movie would have just been knocked out of the park for all generations. But yet there's one scene that was just brilliant that I loved.
Yep. So that's it for Star Wars.
All right, that's it for Star Wars. That brings us to our question of the week, which means the end of the show is nigh. We wanted to know, now that Disney owns Fox, what did Fox...
Serenity.
I knew you beat Craig to it. What did Fox shun that you wish Disney would pick up and run with? I'm going to tell Keith the same thing we told Craig. Let it go.
No.
I just had to say that because you know everybody's going to say
actors
that.
Actors have moved on.
Everybody's moved already on. Talking about it.
Hey, actually, you know, it was funny. The other day, I found some article, a couple articles later after I thought about it. I went, wait, Disney owns Fox. Fox had Serenity, Firefly. I went, whoa, that'd be awesome. But,
have you thought about this? That what? Since Disney owns Fox and Fox released Alien, so are the spawn of the queen now Disney princesses?
That's right. I saw a picture of
the Xenomorph.
I saw a picture of
what about Rocky Disney Horror Princess. Picture Show? Frankenfurter is now a Disney queen.
I saw somebody cosplaying as like the Xenomorph. And it said new Disney queen.
Yeah.
Put him in a dress.
But yeah. What TV shows or movies would you like to see Disney pick back up?
Aside from Firefly,
I can't remember the name of it. It only ran for 1 year. It was a police drama, police sci-fi.
Oh yeah.
Almost Human.
Yep.
I think we did watch that.
It had
a great
Carl Urban played a cop, and he had a synthetic life form partner.
Yes.
Fantastic series.
Yes.
I would like to see that come back.
That was actually I thought it was a really dumb, well done show.
Yeah.
And I was like, do another season.
Yeah. They ended on a good note, but man, it was worthy of another run.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of is kind of the same, not attention is not the right word, but the same tone a little bit that like Alienation, you know, where he was stuck with an alien partner kind of
Alienation.
Thing.
Alienation.
Was that a Fox property?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that would be fun to bring back.
Yeah.
They need to bring that back. I'm glad you brought that one up. Anyway, Craig, go on.
Well, I was just saying that show you're talking about had the tone a little bit, same thing. He, you know, Carl Urban didn't want to deal with the robots and that kind of thing. So I thought it was a good show.
It was a great show, and they were really building a fantastic conspiracy. They were building towards a really good arc for the upcoming season, and the interplay between Carl Urban and his partner was absolutely fantastic, as well as some of the other characters that were part of the police department. I mean, it was a fantastic show.
Yep.
Great characters in that. It was a fabulously, wonderfully character-driven series.
All right. Let us know if you've got a thought on that. You can get a hold of us. You can call us. Go to the phone. Pick it up. 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Also want to stick in a reminder. I think that's the one I'm looking for. Also want to stick in a reminder that we do have an Amazon page on our Technorama page with some recommended books and whatnot that you can find, click through. These are things we've mentioned on our show. Actual things, not things we're trying to make up that we want to see come back on Fox. But get over there or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Ben and Keith, tell them where they can find you.
TGGeeks.com.
And even though we're on vacation, we will have episodes coming out through the remainder of the year into the first part of next year.
Yep. That's right.
And also, if you want to know more about our thoughts on Last Jedi, check out our review at TGGeeks.com.
Love it. Love it. Thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen.
Our pleasure.
We will talk to you after the holidays. Maybe see you again.
Technorama.
Craig, thank you very much. Give us a
thank you.
Binary high five.
101. Happy New Year.